Wait, hold on.
Still says schedule. Okay, now you're live.
We're live. Oh, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Authors Club. If y'all don't know, I'm Joe Montaldo. I'm just hanging out here in Los Angeles with some friends of mine. And this young lady next to me is Miss Chelsea. And we're going to let her actually tell you about herself in just a second. Before we do all that, though, we're in Los Angeles for Writers of the Future. So if y'all don't know what Writers of the Future is, all I can tell you is look it up or go to www.writersofthefuture.com. You can check it out there, or you can go to galaxypress.com. Either way, if you want to buy something, go to galaxypress.com. If you simply just want to become an author or an illustrator, writersofthefuture.com. So, Miss Chelsea, how are you today?
I'm good, Joe. How are you?
I'm alive. That's always a good sign. I mean, that's good. So,
amen.
So, what I want you to do is just tell everybody a little bit about yourself, how you got into this, and then we'll go from there.
Great. Well, my name's Chelsea Garcia, and I'm the manager of a museum about L. Ron Hubbard's life here in Hollywood. We actually, today is our 33rd anniversary of the museum. And in the museum, we actually have a whole display on the Writers of the Future. L. Ron Hubbard presents Writers and Illustrators of the Future. So I actually tour people and from all over. Like, Hollywood is an international city, so I get to meet people from all over the world, which is always exciting. People like Joe.
Strange people.
He toured today.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun, too, by the way. So who is this L. Ron Hubbard character? Who is this guy? Do I know this guy or something? Tell me a little bit about him.
Absolutely. So L. Ron Hubbard is a professional, actually, in many fields. He was first and foremost a writer, thus the Writers and Illustrators of the Future contest that he started in 1983. But he was a professional in many fields. You know, he was also an educator. He was a pilot, a master mariner. He was a ginger.
I'm sorry. I apologize. I didn't resist.
Yeah. He's also done many things. As a lot of people probably know, he's a founder of the philosophy of Scientology. So the museum obviously touches upon that. A lot of people are curious. They want to know. So we get to show people from all over the world. We wrote a best-selling book, Dianetics, The Modern Science of Mental Health. And so the museum shows, you know, all aspects of his life. That's what it's there for, just to show people so that they can become introduced to him as a person. Not a lot of people know him as a person.
Well, I think we need to push this museum more, because really you get a much better understanding of who this gentleman is by being there.
Yeah.
I know a lot from hanging out with y'all and John, but even my education was limited on him. So it was very nice hanging out with y'all today at the museum and learning a lot of good stuff. And by the way, you're a great tour guide, by the way.
Thanks.
I don't know if the actual job, but you did a good job with me. So that's always a plus. Did you work your way up to being this, or?
Yeah, actually.
It seems a lot of hard work. So go ahead. I'll stop interrupting.
No, please. What were you going to say?
it just seems like a lot of hard work to get to where you were. So.
Well, you know, I've been working there now for 26 years.
Damn.
Yeah.
26 years? How old are you? Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I apologize, ladies
wow.
and gentlemen. I apologize. Well, I didn't think you was that old.
Happened.
I'm sorry, I think you was like 30 or something. So I apologize.
You're
I know
my
better.
New best friend, Joe. Thank you very much.
I got a lot of women in my family. I know better than ask women. So anybody listen, I apologize for that. But that just caught me off guard. You said 26 years. I didn't think you were that old.
When I finished school, high school, I started working at the museum. So I started out actually as being working on the estates, like as the curator, because there's a lot of original artifacts from L. Ron Hubbard. Like, he was America's youngest Eagle Scout when he was 13. So there's his bugle, his badge, you know, you have the hat, you have many different artifacts that were his. So the museum, I started out as the curator. So I was that for the longest time. I also did other projects, you know, since working there. I kind of learned his life.
Huh? You're a big boss now, huh?
So now I'm the manager for the museum, which I'm very honored to do that. You know, it's about the people who walk in the door, because people are curious. They want to know. And, you know, you find out for yourself. That's the museum is there for, so people can look.
Well, you're definitely well educated on him. But you enjoy what you do. It looks like you really enjoy it. I mean, while we were walking around, you look like you were having a good time talking with me.
Yeah.
And not everybody does. Some people just take it as a job. See that. But that's not you.
It's not drudgery.
But you're always happy when I see it. It's always a good sign. I mean, I see you working around here with the writers gang, and you seem to always have a good positive attitude. So now I see why. From where you've been at all this time. So now I see where you've been hiding at. Oh, yeah. I done found out the truth now, ladies. I mean, actually, she got a great job over here. I'm jealous. I'm gonna talk to John. You need another job, man. I'll just do it, gentlemen. So, I mean, so you've been doing it for a while.
Yeah.
So you must really know who L. Ron Hubbard is pretty deep now. I mean, you've been through a lot of his stuff. And so when you the more you read about him, do you get a more better understanding the more you read? Or,
absolutely.
Or I mean, you probably read a good bit of his material by now.
Yeah. I mean, I've read a lot of the works that he has, obviously, Dianetics through everything, plus a lot of his fiction works. I've read the things that he put out for people to read. I've also listened to a lot of the lectures that he gave, but I also have studied all of the books that are on his life. Like, he was a professional in many fields, so all those books cover it. And honestly, number of times over, when I read it again and I get a new flavor of the story, it's very beautiful. Like, there's so many stories that he tells, and they're all very entertaining.
You seem to like to travel. That's a big plus, because I love to travel myself.
Yeah.
The more I get to go, so where are you going now? Just you like it there, huh?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I've been there as long as I've been there, but I also get the privilege to work with Author Services. I've done that now for 8 years, working with them.
Another good group of people over there.
Amazing. They're always my favorite time of year.
The only thing I miss about Author Services, I haven't seen my coffee yet this year, but we're working on that. We're working on that. Ladies and gentlemen, in case you don't know what I'm talking about, if you have listened to interviews about Author Services before, I always talk about this big cappuccino machine they got, which I'm going to raid sooner or later while I'm here. But I just have a thing for it. So tell me, I want you to sum up, well, not sum up, spare work. I want you to talk just a little bit about Dianetics, mm-hmm. not enough to give the whole story away, but just to kind of let people know why or what it is that pulled you in.
Yeah.
And what's keeping you here, I guess, is a better way of asking the question.
So I need to get personal?
Well, you're a very intelligent woman, so, you know, I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure you have lots of other options in your life, so I'm just curious to what it is that holds you here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it works. So, and that also is something that when I read the book and I also watched the video, there's a film that you can watch that takes you through chapter by chapter. But the point is that I studied it for myself to really look. And the point is that Dianetics is there. If the word means, it's Greek, basically. So it's what the mind is doing to the body. So oftentimes things happen and you don't know why. And you don't know why you might feel a certain way or have a habit you can't seem to break. Or you have something that you don't understand about yourself or other people. And so Dianetics actually helps you to understand that. It's Dianetics, the modern science of mental health. And it's been around since 1950. It's a bestseller.
God knows we need some mental health around.
Yeah.
You said that out loud, didn't I? I'm sorry.
So the thing is that really gives you the knowledge that everybody's different. Everybody has their own experiences, but the mind works the same person to person. So if you can have a technology that helps you to handle the bad experiences and be able to be more in the present, that's really what Dianetics does.
So let's say, hypothetically,
yeah,
we meet somebody outside and they said, hey, I'm kind of curious about Dianetics. Should they come see you?
Yeah, they can absolutely come for the tour. We obviously have the film.
Show them.
We're there to answer questions and show people. That's really what it's all about.
Damn. Well, I know the tour I was with, like I said, was very interesting. I enjoyed it a lot. And it let me see, you know, I like to know facets of people.
Yeah.
I'm always interested in what actually makes people tick and why they're here and what they're doing, why they do what they do.
Yeah.
So you're a youngin' coming in this, and you must have really seen something in this that really put you over the top, said, okay, I can do this. This mm-hmm. is going to work for my life,
mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, you seem to be a happy individual. Every time I see you, you're happy. So, ladies and gentlemen, I don't mean every happy all the time before I get any emails now, because I know somebody's going to have, I'm miserable, John. I don't want to hear you miserable. Come talk to Chelsea. all right, no, I'll take that back. Talk to somebody else, then come talk to Chelsea. Well, we don't want to give you all the praises right off the bat. You know, let's say, so you got in there. I mean, I see the church is all set up really nice. It's really, really pretty over there. There's lots of works to look through. Mm-hmm. So what would you recommend? Let's say just a newbie out there that's kind of thinking about this. What would you tell them the best thing to start off with to be? I mean, if they're interested in this mm-hmm. and the whole nine yards, I mean, is there a particular book you'd say, hey, read this first?
Really depends on the person, but reading any book is obviously the best way, because you see for yourself, you know. So if you're interested in the mind, obviously Dianetics, the modern science of mental health, would be something you would study. But if you were interested in other things, he's written so many things, The Problems of Work. He's also written a book called The Way to Happiness, which is a non-religious moral code. So it's just very, it's varied. So it depends on the person, what they like to study. But, you know, also we have the TV channel, which people are welcome to go to.
How can they find it?
So you go to Scientology.tv and you can just go through and find it's on DirecTV, Roku. You can go to YouTube. It's basically there for to show people. The same. It really gives information. There's also free courses people can do on the website. So you can check it out.
Yeah, so yeah, y'all go check it out. Go watch some TV, get some understanding, and come bug Chelsea.
There you go.
I think that's a better program. Yeah, let's do all of that and then come bug Chelsea. So, but well, you know, because I'm curious because I know there's a lot of people in this world now. It's 8 billion plus now, and all of us could use a little moral satisfaction. You know, actually we can use a lot of things these days. So I mean, when you're talking about this, I mean, you seem to be, you know, let me rephrase this, because I know a lot of people in this group. Mm-hmm. So as a group, y'all seem to be very well balanced, well educated, very comfortable in what you do. Would you attribute that to this?
Definitely, because Scientology means knowledge. The knowledge from L. Ron Hubbard is there for the person. So whatever it is that you're want to handle or want to know more about, it's life. And so it gives you tools to be able to handle life, and everybody's different. So everybody has their own things that they want to deal with or handle or know more about. Some people are really successful, but maybe there's something that they want to know more about. It's just everybody's different. So that's just, for me, it definitely helped with everything that I do, and being very determined to help others and to, you know, give that knowledge to people. Like, that's also why we're there. Some people would like to know how to handle certain things. So that's my passion, is to communicate to everybody who L. Ron Hubbard was and the knowledge that he has available. And
that's good.
I mean, if it'll help someone, that's what we're there for.
Well, I mean, there always needs to be positive for every negative, and you're definitely there. Mm-hmm. And you can definitely help people in that area. So let's talk a little bit about you electrocuting me today. And
that's not true.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that's not actually true. But I'm going to let her explain it to you. Because, I mean, they were electrocuting me. No, I'm just kidding. It was a very interesting device. I was very still interested about it. So I want you now, I know this is going to be hard to just explain outright to non-people who really don't know what we're talking about, but just give them a little understanding, because this is something that does come up from time to time. People ask me about this, and of course, I'm completely unqualified to talk about it.
Sure.
You know, it's not something I can say, all I can say is, I have no idea. You have to ask somebody who knows what the hell they're talking about.
Right.
So in this case, you actually know what you're talking about, so you can tell them a little bit about it. And, sure. And because what I want to do here is I just want people to have a much better understanding of really the friendliness of everybody that we work with up here, and that y'all are this group of nice people who just want to see real change brought around, not evil change, not bad change, just real change.
Yeah.
And I figured you were a good spokesperson for this job.
Great.
So tell them a little bit about what we were doing.
Yeah.
About being electrocuted.
So.
I'm kidding.
Essentially. Yeah, so what Joe is referring to is what's called an e-meter. And what that is often a misunderstood religious artifact, actually, that we have in any Scientology organization, which people who use the meter, they're very trained, as much as college years, on how to use the meter, because you're responsible for the person in front of you to help them with whatever stress or problems or things that they have in their life. So the meter actually is a tool that measures thought. So the purpose of that is to help you pinpoint the past moments of pain or upset that are troubling you. So, you know, if we knew what was wrong, you'd handle it. So the meter actually helps you, through L. Ron Hubbard's exact technology, to find what's happening. And so then you are able to find the answer for yourself. And, you know, through specific questions that are asked, you're able to then locate that stress or that area of trouble so that you can handle it. And that is the amazing thing about the e-meter, is that you actually find, you know, what is that trouble or that area, and you're able to handle it. And there's no evaluation. No one tells you what's wrong or what happened. You are discovering it for yourself. So in the museum, we have a display that has this meter so that people can find out, because that's the best way to do it, is look for yourself. So we obviously do demonstrations so people can see how it does it work, that you can actually measure thought. And it is very scientific, but it, the purpose is solely that, to help the person find the past moments of pain or upset and be able to confront them in their entirety, which when you do that, then you're able to get rid of it.
So that no alien just pulling stuff out of your head or not?
No.
It's just no fun. I'm just saying. I mean, we need an alien in here somewhere, man. No, actually, guys.
That's a different subject.
You know, actually, guys, I was picking it. It's completely painless. It's very interesting, actually. I still have no idea what it does. But, you know, Chelsea was very good at explaining it to me, but still I'm a dummy. So I'll bugger about this more in the future. But it does seem like something interesting. And I know a lot of people are looking for ways to try to get rid of this emotional baggage that most people are carrying around, from either childhood or divorce or being beat up or God knows what. I mean, we do live on a planet that anything can happen to you. So, I mean, this might be good for some of y'all who are looking for a way to get to whatever's in it that's bothering you. You know, nothing bothers me, so that's another word for me. That's enough.
Just... He's perfect.
But anyway, guys and girls, it is something y'all should look into. I know lately I've had a lot of people ask me a lot of different questions about John and the gang, and this is a good way for y'all to see what goes on around here. I mean, most of y'all have seen John with me on air many times. He's on Arthur's Quill with me. We've been on News and the Flip Side with me many times. So if you want to really know what it is, y'all go see him. We've talked about many different things. But, you know, we rarely talk about it with people like Chelsea because we're always usually too busy to squeeze them in. This year, we're not as busy as usual because we did a lot of this before we got here, which was kind of nice. So you're all nice and happy now. So you know, conquering the world or nothing?
You know, one step at a time.
Okay, I can go for that. One step at a time. Well, I mean, I'm just, you know, I mean, like, you know, all these, how can I say this politely? Bullshit rumors. And so I figured we'd clarify.
That was very polite.
Trust me, that was, from what I was thinking, that was very polite.
Yeah.
But it's just things like with the meter we were just talking about, you know, I've heard so many different weird variations of that, even from people on my own staff. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, you know, I said, well, now I can dispel all of that, which is nice. And, mm-hmm. and this will actually help to mm-hmm. dispel that as all. And then, you know, when we talk about Dynex, people, I think, sometimes get completely confused of what it actually is. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll hear stuff like this or this or this or that. And I'm like, have you read the book? Mm-hmm. Well, no. I said, well, how can you say anything if you haven't mm-hmm. read the book?
Right.
And ladies and gentlemen, really, let's be honest. It's like telling me you read a book and you didn't read the book. I mean, you know, come on. Read the book and then bitch or not, whichever one, you know, serves your purpose. But really and truly, if you're going to complain about anything, at least read the book. Or in this case, listen to the book. Either way. Mm-hmm. But do one or the other.
Or watch the video.
Or watch the video. Or you know, that way at least you have an idea of what exactly these people are talking about. Don't ask me because I have not a clue. You'd be wasting your time. That's why Chelsea's sitting here and not me, because she knows what she's talking about and I don't. So wait, let's talk a little bit about the building.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So let's talk. Okay. Yes, I like the building.
So the building is a historic part of Hollywood. like it's a historic landmark and registered as such. And today is the 33rd anniversary of the museum. So we have an open house down at the museum. So Joe came on the exact right day to get his tour on our anniversary. But the building itself is fully restored on the bottom floor to how it was and on the exterior when in 1924, when it was built. And this October is going to be the 100th anniversary of our building. So it's the Hollywood Guarantee Building. And Charlie Chaplin actually had an office on the second floor. So that was restored to how it was when he was there. So there's a lot of special, rich history in the building. It's totally a part of Hollywood. We love the Hollywood history and being able to be a part of it through, you know, having restored the building and having Charlie Chaplin. Also, Cecil B. DeMille also had an office there. Hedda Hopper, who was a newspaper columnist, she also had an office there. So it's very beautiful to have that whole thing. So the marble is restored. We've got the gold leafing. And all of the architectural design on the inside. It's just a very beautiful building. So yeah, you're welcome to come for that too.
You did all that yourself. I mean, you didn't do it yourself. But...
Yeah, like in 91. So in 89, we purchased the building. Then the whole restoration happened and it was a lot of man hours, but it was all done by the staff, like all the Church of Scientology staff members, all were the ones who restored the building, learned how to do gold leafing and the wainscot, which is the wood that goes around the lobby and throughout the whole place. Everything was our own two hands that we basically restored it to be back to the original way it was in the 20s and 30s, which was the beautiful time for Hollywood at that time. It was the beginning of the whole launch of Hollywood.
It's a beautiful building.
Yeah.
And I love architecture because it's one of the things I do, but
yeah,
it's
that's right.
Yeah, because we get all them old rickety buildings in the French Quarter, man. Some of the buildings should be tore down, but anyway, we're not going to go there. It's just, but there are some beautiful buildings down there. And I liked it when I came in and I see it's nice and well organized, well put together. It's a nice, easy tour. It's you know, it's comfortable when you go through. Lots of mm-hmm. things to look at, lots of things to listen to. By the way, they got mm-hmm. videos and movies in there that y'all can watch. But this for the non-sayer, the no-sayer, or anybody who's never seen anything to do with L. Ron Hubbard or Scientology, just this is the place to go to dispel a lot of the rumors that you've heard probably in the 70s and 80s. This is just a good place to go. And Miss Chelsea's one of the most honest people I've met, so y'all should go talk to her and sit.
Yeah.
And learn. Talk to somebody. It's always best firsthand knowledge. Anything it is in life, if you need to know something, it's always best to get it from a horse's mouth, or in this case, it's just better that way. You learn so much more that way. You have an understanding about it. And before anybody sends me an email later on, it's a hard sell. No, it's not. Chelsea, very, and you don't do all the time, but you're not the one that does all the tours, right?
No, there's two other people who work there. Yeah, there's two other people who work there. One lady is Elisa. She's from Germany. So she's
very nice.
So people who speak German, she also learned Spanish herself. So she does most of our Spanish tours. She's amazing. She's very quick to learn. So she does our Spanish tours. She also speaks French and German and obviously English. And then we have Rainy, who is from Taiwan. And so she does all of our Chinese tours. So, and English. So she speaks perfect English as well. So we kind of try to cater to international, because as I said earlier, it's an international city. So we've got a lot of people coming from all over. So we try to be able to help them. Plus the videos themselves are translated into 16 different languages. So you're able to see it in your language.
Now, I know somebody's going to send me this. How many millions of dollars does this cost to come to the museum?
Gosh, Joe, let me think. It's free.
Don't say the free word now.
Oh, sorry. It's complimentary.
That's a bad four-letter word.
We, you know, as people come in, it's just to show people. That's what it's there for. So
I know people free. I know that's just scary, isn't it? When people hear free, they always get these weird ideas in their heads. It's actually very beautiful. Y'all should go walk through it and see it. And it really does portray his life in an easy manner to understand. You know, it's not really complicated. Don't get me wrong, people. I'm sure there's complicated parts to the man. But when you're going through this, you don't have to experience in such that kind of light. You can go through it and experience it. And you can take your time going through and looking and listening, re-listening to things you want to hear. And, of course, if you don't like it, you can always, you know, leave. It's but for the average person who's got questions about this is the place to start. Because the other day somebody asked me if I could put him in touch with John Goodwin. I started laughing. I said, why would I do that? Well, I got questions. I said, you ain't asking John questions. That's not how this works. I said, there's a line of authority here, people. Let's get this straight. I said, we'll ask Emily first. And but really, Chelsea's a person to come see, guys. Because I know we have been getting a lot of, you know, when I do a lot of tours lately. I'm doing a lot of lectures lately. And it just always comes up in one shape, form, or fashion in the mm-hmm. lectures. And I'm always asked either. I'm always asked about Writers of the Future, but now it's people just want to ask me about Scientology, which I'm in, how can I say this politely, ill-equipped to answer. I mean, I can let me rephrase this, ladies and gentlemen. I can answer this way. I can tell you that the three people I'm sitting with in here are really good people and really nice people. I can tell you they're hardworking, insanely hardworking, actually. They make me look like I'm sitting still half the time. And y'all know I'm busy all the damn time. So, I mean, they go out of their way to be nice to people. If you could see the way they handle and treat not just the winners, but the judges as well. So, because remember, these judges have big books, big movies to them. They have to be treated with certain respect and certain manner that has to be handled. You don't want to piss off hack off a judge and have an issue. Now, so they really make hard to make sure everybody here is happy. And that's not an easy task by any means. I mean, you've got 24 winners from what was it, seven countries this year? Eight countries this year. And some of them don't even speak that good English. I know last year there was a couple of them. English was questionable, let's say. but really and truly, they go out of way and somehow they manage not to get on each other's nerves. At least if they do, they don't do it where anybody can see it. So that's always a plus. I'm not saying they're perfect, but I've never seen them lose a temper. And trust me, there are times I would have lost my temper. So the fact that they didn't says something right off the bat. And they really go out of their way to make everybody who's here feel welcome. They want to come back. And it's more than that. They want to see your career move forward, which is most places. Okay, you won a prize. Here's your money. Go home. That's not how they are here. So, and it's even better than that because I know some of the judges now because I've been here 4 or 5 years. And I see how some of these judges help these people down the line. Mm-hmm. Not just, I've also seen how some of the winners get together and help each other down the line. So it becomes almost like a kindred kind of thing. And it's really nice to see. And it's just really nice to see something that actually works with not a bunch of hate involved in it. It's just a nice thing to see. So if you have these kind of ideas or any thoughts in your head, come see Chelsea. Chelsea can help you work some of these, actually put you on a machine and find out what's really wrong with your ass. And I'm just telling y'all, people, we're going to work this out one way or another.
Wow.
And I'm just trying to get these people under control, man. I mean, there's 8 billion people out there that are. And oh, did I do that? Well, y'all can see that on camera, didn't y'all? Damn. Anyway, she's a really good woman. She's down here working her butt off. Y'all should come out and pay a little respect and a little homage and say hi. Don't tell them Joe sent you because she might not let you in. And, no, you got to go away. Come back another day when somebody else is doing a tour. Wait till the German lady's doing a tour. There you go. But really, you should come down and enjoy for what it is. It's a great museum. It's got a lot of good stuff in it. It's very clean. It's very well put together. And it just flows nice and smoothly. And you can look for yourself. You don't have to worry about what this news company said or that reel said or this person said. You can look for yourself and read for yourself. And if you're going to criticize, which is a right of everybody on this planet to criticize, at least educate yourself before you criticize. I said, remember, people, when y'all see me on the news on the flip side, I'm criticizing a lot of people. But I'm well educated on what I'm criticizing and why I'm criticizing. And you need to be the same way. And personally, I think this is something that I wish I'd known about this earlier. We'd have been pushing this for the last couple of years. This is something for people just to come down and learn who the individual is and not who the media says he is or just who he actually is. And y'all can look for yourself. You ain't got to ask Chelsea. There's stuff all over the museum. You can walk around and look and see. I don't know if she's going to let y'all loose by yourself, though. I mean, some of y'all are a little strange, but still come down, check it out. Get on the machine, especially some of you people I know that are listening right now. Yes, I want. Can I bring some people to get on that machine? I got an idea.
You can bring people to do the whole tour so they'll understand the context. You know what I mean?
I just want to put them on the machine.
So, what about you? Like, if you hadn't done the whole tour, you wouldn't, you know. So, the point is, we do the whole tour, then you understand why he would have developed such a.
But really, y'all do need to come do the whole tour if you want. If you really want to know what we're actually talking about, you need to do the whole tour to understand it. And then she can put you on the machine and tell you y'all nuts. Crazy, you need to go somewhere else. No, I'm kidding. But
you better be kidding.
No, not y'all. Y'all are sweethearts. I'm talking about the other 7.8 billion people on the planet. There are some strange people. And this is a good way. I've always been the same way. Anything that can actually help people without any cost to the individual. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about other things. But it needs to be explored. It needs to be looked at. John had given me a book. Oh, God. This is when I first met him way back. I can't remember what it is now. And I was reading about L. Ron. And I realized that he was an adventurer. He liked to get out and get in trouble. He just liked to be. And when I say trouble people, I'm not talking about bad stuff. I'm just talking in general, getting out and enjoying his life and learning about stuff. That's after my own heart. I travel as much as I can. I always want to see and experience new things. And it's really who the guy is. And he really wrote about what he was doing. And Dianetics is just really a culmination of all of the stuff that he had done before. So read it, understand the man, either join, like it or not. That's entirely up to any individual who reads it. But again, don't criticize until you've read it. Then if you want to criticize, feel free. But until then, don't do that. I mean, I get tired of people telling me about stuff that they have no clue about what they're talking about. And I'm not just talking about y'all. I'm talking about a lot of other stuff. Some lady called me the other day that told me that Hillary Clinton was the best person on the planet. I'm like, okay, I love you too. And we'll leave that alone. It's just, and where everybody's entitled to your beliefs, but really and truly educate yourself before you do it. Come see Chelsea, learn about what's going on here, learn about L. Ron Hubbard for who L. Ron Hubbard is, and maybe you can change your life, or maybe you can. I'm not promising you anything. She might, but I'm not. But come get on the machine for sure. I'm just trying to get to tell him, not let me have no funny. I want you know what? Let me run that machine. Uh-huh. I got some ideas. Uh-huh. I got some
buckle down and train, you know, learn.
No. I got some new ideas. We can put some more electrodes inside of it, some other tiny electrodes. Y'all just don't have no fun. See, people, they're protecting you. I want to shock y'all up and they're being nice to y'all. Anyway, if y'all listening to the Authors Quill, I know y'all know who John Goodwin is, and he's actually sitting inside over here listening while we're sitting here. So just come down. It's in Hollywood Boulevard. It's easy to find. It's not like it's hidden or anything. It's in a big building. You can find it pretty easy. It's a nice looking building. You got nice people working it. What else do you want? And you got good information. So come down and do that. So what else you want to tell these weird people that we have? And when I say weird, I mean they're weird. What else you gonna tell these weird people? See, she don't think y'all weird. I do. Okay. So two different opinions. What do you think? What, anything else you want to tell these people? Or?
In terms of the anything. Well, you know, I definitely agree with Joe in terms of, you know, just finding out for yourself and being able to look for yourself to see that's the best way, especially in today's world. How do you know about something unless you don't study it or read it or learn for yourself from the source, right? So there's obviously a lot of things that are said. So the best thing is to go to the source. And that's part of the reason why the museum has been there for 33 years, because, you know, we need to show people who L. Ron Hubbard is and what he did, you know?
The only things that can change is people learn.
Yeah.
And pay attention. So let me ask you this, and then I'm going to let you get out of here after this, but tell me, I know y'all have had some new church openings. We were talking about that earlier.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about it. What you can tell me about. I know it's
just. Yeah. I mean, we had.
I know this much. So, you know, you're educating me as well as them at this moment. So,
yeah, we actually had four new churches open. So we had first in Austin, Texas, that opened like a month and a half ago. Beautiful. It was my first time to Texas. I loved it. Texas. Great brisket.
Texas, fun place.
Yeah, it's very, very beautiful. It's right next to the, obviously the school. So it's perfect. You know, it's a lot of people can go University look for themselves, University of Texas. So that was the first one was in, Austin. And, then we had, what's that? Attending about, close to 2000, I believe. That were at the grand opening. So the grand opening happened, and obviously how it works is we work a lot with the community. So then there's speakers that are within the community. So they speak and they, you know, welcome our church there, because that's what it's all about. It's a very much inclusive of everybody, like all faiths. You know, you don't have to change who you are when you study Scientology or L. Ron Hubbard's technology. It's use it your, you know, whatever your faith is, you don't change that. Obviously you can be of any faith and also study and be a Scientologist. So we are open to everybody, and everybody can come and look. So, and that was amazing. That was like the first church that we'd opened in Austin, Texas since the pandemic, basically. And then after that was Del Valle in Mexico City. So that was very exciting. They had a lot of people. Yeah, my husband actually got to go. He's from Mexico, Mexico City specifically. So his best friend is actually the executive director of Del Valle Church Scientology there. So that opened. It was a huge, big deal, very beautiful. They did it at night, of course, because the Spanish like to stay up late.
Yes.
So that happened. And then right after that, 2 days later, was then in Chicago. And Chicago then was a beautiful, sunny day. It was amazing. So
got lucky.
So we got, I also attended the Chicago grand opening. That was also very beautiful. Again, it's open to anybody. So they've been having a lot since they opened, having a lot of new people coming in. It's the same. It's really there to show you. You have, you know, introductory panels that really you can just go look for yourself. You can take little informational DVDs. Those are all complimentary. You can sit and watch any videos you want to there, or you can take them home. It's like very, it's really there for anybody who wants to look. And then we also opened one in Paris that just happened, which was amazing. So that was on April 6th. So absolutely gorgeous building. You can see all of them on our website.
I'll have to take my station manager to that one since she's always in Paris.
They are. It's gorgeous. I didn't get to go to that one, but I wanted to.
Oh, that's the one you need to go. One. Yeah. That's the one too in Paris.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a little dangerous for Americans right now. It's not for French people, just for Americans. But so let me ask you a question, because every now and then somebody asked me about this. And matter of fact, just before I came up here, a lady in I was in New Orleans with a group of friends right after Mardi Gras. She said, how do you become a scientist? I said, I have not a clue. I said, I don't even think they just let weirdos in like you, man. I said, they got standards, man. They're not like you other people. Anyway, I'm just kidding. People don't get mad at me. I don't know if Christian's calling me tonight, but I really don't. Because anybody just walk into the church? Or?
Anybody's welcome to go into the church and find out for themselves. But really the key thing is that if you look for yourself and read a book, you know, you read a book, you see it, if it makes sense to you, you know, also L. Ron Hubbard was an educator. So a very big thing in Scientology is knowing how to study, because if you want to study anything, whether it's Scientology or in any field, you have to know how to learn. And it's a big thing. It's not just about memorizing things. It's knowledge is knowingness of yourself and others. And so that's why it's very important that when you read a book, you read it for yourself and for your own understanding, and you apply it. That's really what it's about. It's an applied philosophy. So you study and apply to better whatever aspect of your life. So when you read a book and you see it, it's not like you decide for yourself when that, you'd like to, you know, do the next step. Great. That's up to you, so but
I
you do that.
I burst in flames when I walk in there. You know, every time I go to a Catholic church, I catch on fire.
Oh, really?
Not just, I think last time church caught on fire, so I don't want to burn no churches down.
No.
You sure now? No, girl? All right, I'm just asking because,
no.
You know, some of us are not good on religion sides.
Well, you know, like obviously the purpose of religion is really to raise a person, you know, up. Help them improve.
I do have one kind of hard, serious question for you. Because I've been actually asked this at colleges a couple of times. Why did L. Ron decide to make it a religion and not just a science? I know I'm putting the pressure on you. It's not a question you have to answer, but I'm curious.
No problem. Okay. So the thing is that Scientology itself, so philosophy is senior to religion. So you obviously have knowledge. You have philosophy. Mm-hmm. You have knowledge about life. That is the philosophy, right? And it's applied. But how are you going to apply the philosophy if you don't have people that are going to help you to do that? So our churches, our staff that are applying then and delivering the philosophy to people. And so you have to then have a church, which then obviously religion anyway is there. If you look up the word, it's really there to help uplift the individual and the society and make people better. That's really any faith, any religion, ultimately is there for that, right?
Good job.
So
I'm impressed.
Scientology philosophy is there to take the individual and raise them up and have more ability, more freedom, more knowledge about themselves and other people and how to achieve your goals. And that's why you then have a church, because you have to go somewhere to then receive Dianetics or to do a course about communication or to do a course about raising children or having a successful marriage. I mean, this is all parts of life, and that's all there in any of the churches.
You don't want some children, right? I need some extra children. I got some 30-year-olds I want to see. You sure you don't need some extra?
You're a good dad. I'm sure you're a good dad.
Oh, yeah.
He's a good dad.
What the difference between the practice and the philosophy? Just some people confuse we are with like going to a church and you have all the dogma and stuff.
Yeah. So obviously the philosophy or the knowledge is there for the person to study and look for themselves. That's like a very big principle. It's not something you believe in. in that, you know, you don't have to believe in a certain way. It's like you study it, you see for yourself. The biggest principle that L. Ron Hubbard has in Scientology is what's true for you is what's true. And you keeping that and having your integrity to know what you've studied and what's true for you, that's what you follow. So the thing is, in Scientology, when you read it, or any of the knowledge, any knowledge, Dianetics or Scientology, it's something that you study and you learn for yourself, and then you apply it, and then you go, ah, that makes sense. Like, for example, the communication course, right? You want to learn how to better communicate, because in relationships, the bedrock is communication. So whether it's relationships like friends, work, you know, your wife, your husband, your kids, whatever it may be, if you know about communication and you can apply it and you see that that works, that's what you're applying. It's not, you know, we don't, you know, pray to L. Ron Hubbard. If you are a Christian or a Catholic and you have that faith, like my husband's from Mexico, he's Catholic. His whole family's Catholic, but you don't have to change who you are. You can.
I don't think I've ever met anyone from Mexico that wasn't Catholic.
Right? I mean, that's kind of that way.
It's just one of them things, I guess.
But that's where it's a, you know.
Catholics, I love y'all too. Okay. Before you send me any emails, I love y'all too. At one time I was a Catholic, when many, many moons ago, and we'll just leave it at that. Probably before you was born.
You remember that I've been working at the museum for 26 years.
Yes, but
right?
It's still probably before you were born. I'm old. What can I say? Me, I'm old as dirt. So,
and obviously, if there's more, like there's a, like the TV channel, the websites, they all are there to answer also these questions. If I didn't do a good enough job, you can also check those websites.
Sure. You did a fabulous job, by the way. Writers of the Future.com, Jan Godet, if you want to get involved, this, if you want to buy a book, galaxypress.com. Sorry, you think I know that by heart. Any other links you want to give them?
You can go to the Scientology.tv. You're welcome to check out lronhubbard.org. You can also, and there's free courses on Scientology.org. There's 19 free courses you can do on marriage, on communication, on many things. You'll see them all there. Assist for illnesses and injuries. It's a very varied cause of suppression. That's another very good one. Another one called the emotional tone scale. These are all things that are very important for life. So you're welcome to check any of those out.
Yeah, I'm going to have to call you. We need to modify this little thing we had earlier. We need to put some electrodes in there. Charlie, no fun.
Did you have fun, Joe? Did you have fun?
I had a great time.
You had a great time.
And I know y'all hear me teasing, but this thing is just no harm to it. Matter of fact, she had to get on my ass for holding it too tight a couple of times. It's very interesting. And I know, because we have a lot of people ask us about this. And I know some of the people can answer the questions, you know, how can I say this? Asinine, we'll just leave it like that. I was going to say haphazardly, but I couldn't get it out at the time. So this is something I've been wanting to do for a long time. And I think you were the right person for this particular interview. I mean, very Thank knowledgeable you. On it. You're very unoffensive. You know, people like me are scary. They know John, but, you know, they might think John has ulterior motives. They don't know you, and you don't have ulterior motives. So you were just the right person for this interview. And frankly, awesome. I think you knocked it out of the park. What do you got, John? We want to get anything else out of it before we leave? Or?
Yeah, I have to do. We can
flip-flop around.
We can flip-flop around. And thank you very much, Chelsea. And then as long as we make it so that Joe Madman Montalvo. Okay, good.
Well, who put that on? Somebody been playing with my thing.
So we'll swap it out here because we got just hard. We're here for a reason.
Yes, it is. Now the good-looking guys are together now, huh? Y'all should see us from when we was in where we were Dragon Con. We got some good pictures of Dragon Con.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, Chelsea did awesomeness. That was really good.
I know you did a fabulous job. Chelsea,
yeah,
really
that was great.
And our producer over here is doing a great job. Tell everybody who you are, producer.
I'm Jesse. I'm behind the camera.
Yes, y'all are missing out too because you're really cute.
But you're here for a reason this week.
Yes, we am.
And so, and this is Author's Quill, and we've got some of the top-selling authors of science fiction and fantasy going to be here over the next.
We had 12 winners, right?
We have 12 writer winners, and they're all here right now. The workshop started today, and it's being taught right now by Jody Lynn Nye, who's published hundreds of books,
yeah,
and Rob Sawyer. Robert J. Sawyer, who's the Dean of Science of Canadian Science Fiction. He's won every major science fiction award that exists.
Matter of fact, guys, Young Cats Jody's interview was just on before this one.
Yeah, yeah. And she's the coordinating judge.
Yes.
And so she goes over what she looks for and what's important. Why science fiction fantasy? Oh, serious debt to Orrin Hubbard's Rise of Feature contest, because we got, I think we calculated a few weeks ago, we're at about a 64% success rate of the winners over the 40 years who got into major careers in science fiction and fantasy. It's just, it's crazy good. We get so many reviews from major review publications saying nothing's done more for science fiction and fantasy than Writers of the Future.
And they got some serious judges, people. I mean, they got judges with serious movies.
Yeah, yeah. Orson Scott Card's going to be here in a couple days. He's the guy that wrote Ender's Game.
You got Ender's Game. You got Dune. You got the new Dune.
Yeah, we got Kevin Anderson. He's in the credits above the actors, even in the movie. Tim Powers. He'll be here in a couple days. He's
Caribbean, right?
Pirates of the Caribbean. Yeah, on Stranger Tides was the book that he wrote that got turned into Pirates of the Caribbean. Well, like I said, Rob Sawyer, he wrote a book called Flash Forward, which was made into a TV series by ABC a few years ago. And
not including how many just tons of books these people have. I mean, like Dean Leslie Smith, how many books does he have now? It's a godly amount of books.
A couple hundred books. Yeah, he's got Kevin's up to about 160 books now. He's very prolific. We'll have like 20 judges here, all major like names in science fiction and fantasy. And then the 12 winners, they're from four countries for the writer winners and another four countries from the illustrators who are all arriving today. So we have eight different countries represented this year. So last night at the opening welcome thing, we had UK, we had Malaysia, she's from Kuala Lumpur, Canada and the US. And then today we've got Pedro from Portugal, and we've got New Zealand, and we got two more countries. So a total of eight countries this year with winners, which is just awesome that we have this. But
they all spoke pretty good English too when we did the interviews. That was
yeah, nice. Yeah, it was good. You've interviewed everybody.
Yeah, everybody's been interviewed. Yes,
so it's going to make it easier for you now to talk to these people even more.
We got a little bit more of y'all staff to get, and then we're going to get a poor Carmadone. Nobody's getting interviewed.
Good for him.
I'm telling y'all, it's going to be a surprise.
Yeah. So, Carmen, sit down.
So, Carmen, let's chat for a little while. Oh, wait, I'm turning. Oh, it must have been on, Carmen. I didn't know it was on. Damn, sorry. And then we got a couple others we want to get out besides that. And then we got a couple of judges we want to talk to this year. Jody still holds a record on our Facebook page. I mean, not our Facebook page, our YouTube page.
Wow. Good for her.
She still holds it for interviews.
The interview just went up right now. It's going to do really well, too, because she really gets into it, you know, the value of it and what she's looking for.
She's a good spokesperson, good teacher, so she's a lot of fun to listen to. And
we also talk about AI in writing and how it's take advantage of this contest if you're a writer, and we do everything we can to dissuade people from using AI to write. It's like we need to create the best that AI can do is scrape the internet after all the books that's plagiarized and ripped off to be able to put something together. And so that's not what this is about. And of course, as soon as we say no AI, some bleep for brains is going to try to game the system.
You know that. And somebody has to try. It's just one of the things. But somebody's always going to think they're bigger and better and smarter. But
we'll find about our judges and illustrators. We've got some of the biggest names in illustration art as well that are there. And they can see stuff because they themselves have created every forms of art. And so when they see something, they go, so show me your layer files. And they can't do that, or that they'll try to create layer files using AI and say, no, this isn't you.
No.
You know, and so they get disqualified. But it's unfortunate with the Illustrators Contest, we disqualify a lot of people when they come up like, this is AI, this is AI, this is AI. But the people are really working at trying to make it go. We're behind you all the way. And that's what this contest is about. When Orrin Hubbard created it in 1983, it was to provide that launching pad for writers, you know, because it's hard. There's a lot of people out there. And right in, it's 2024 now. In 2022, there were, I think it was 4 million books published. That's a lot of books. So how do you get yourself known? How do you rise above that amazingly heavy din of just book noise out there? So this contest does that.
You know what? I wanted to ask you about, somebody asked me about Quick Start the other day. And for some reason, I never explained it adequately enough or something. Because somebody asked me, could they put their podcast? And I said, I think it's pretty much just for books and art, right?
From what I know, I haven't seen that Kickstarters, crowdfunding is what it is. Is Brandon Sanderson, one of our judges, set the record on books, on any campaign on Kickstarter? $42 million he raised.
Buttload of money.
And he just did another one about a month ago where he was like $17-18 million he made. Just crazy successful as an author.
I'm gonna have to marry this guy, man.
But he's got, he set a record, but now we've got Dean Wesley Smith. He does 6 Kickstarters a year right now, very successful. Kevin Anderson has done multiple Kickstarters. We had some of our winners from a few years ago have done Kickstarters, and I've actually promoted several of our people using the podcast with Kickstarters as a means to fund a book. You've got all these books out there right now, a lot of people, you know, that want to be able to publish, and it's done now. You've got like 5 big houses, big publishing houses, the old school, the standard way of publishing, which is kind of like transforming now to indie publishing. And that's, you know, where you can go out there and, or self-publishing, and you can go through Amazon Kindle, or you can go through, I just did another interview that went up, I don't know, about a month and a half ago with another program that you can use to publish yourself. And there's more ways that you can actually get yourself published that will enable you to get out there. But again, how do you get yourself above the noise?
Yes, you better get out there and get a lot of podcast people or a lot of TV
podcasts
shows.
Is definitely a way that it helps.
It helps, but it's not enough. You need a TV appearance, or you need something that, in other words, see, when we're talking about the $40 million, $2 million, he actually was known. So it's a little different. So if somebody up there who's got a great book, you put it up there, but you only got 5 people following you, you're not going to make what you're looking for. And when you set your Kickstarter price, you have to make the price or you don't get any of the money. So keep that in mind, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, I'm going to put $50 million. No. Let's start off like $1,000.
Yeah.
And I go from there.
You have to start, and then you can have your levels above that. But you have to start enough so you're able to fund what you need to do without making a profit, so you can actually produce a book. Because if you don't hit that first goal, then it doesn't pay out at all. You get nothing. So you need to set your first goal at a level that you can actually make.
Obtainable, yeah.
And then you need to really promote it so you make that level. Then you can do your various bonus levels. You can
now,
go after.
Now, you know, money. Google said they're looking at a way to track the AI for, especially for illustrators. He said for authors right now, it's not that big of a deal because obviously when you read a book,
yeah,
when you get about halfway through it, you can tell it's like jibber jabber in the middle of the book. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, but for artists, it's getting a little harder. So they're actually going to develop software, they said, that you can just run that will tell you if it was made by an AI program. Because all the AI programs now are going to be built with a stamp. So when AI programs use, it's going to leave a little, like, 2-little keyword behind it that lets you know that it was an AI, it was a bot. And the reason why is because, like Google said, if we use it and it goes viral and somebody else wants to use it, I can't do anything about it because you can't copyright AI. He said, so we need to know that we're using the material that we can go back and say, okay, we like what AI did, but we're going to have to develop it ourselves if we want to make any money off of it.
Right.
And it's getting there, so we'll see what goes with that.
Yeah, and copyright laws have not changed. You still, you know, those tools, those rules have definitely not changed. And so you cannot copyright AI. It still cannot be copyrighted. So if you think you can't, no, you can't. If someone told you you can't. Plain and simple that way.
So if you go make some AI and it goes viral and it makes you a bunch of money, and then John and Joe over there and Chelsea decide they're going to use it too and they make a bunch of money, there's nothing you can do about it. You can just say, well, I'm glad y'all made money too. And if they have a better program than yours or better advertisement, then they may make your money.
Yeah.
And it could be all your money if you'd have done it the right way. So I'm just telling, it's a cautionary warning, people, when you get into AI, you may get something that's gold. And then you end up sharing it with everybody on the internet. So it's not where you want to go.
Yeah. I mean, now with Rise of Future, because one thing about it, it's we don't use the F word, we use the C word now. It's all complimentary. So everything on the riseoffuture.com is complimentary. We don't say it's free anymore, evidently.
That's right. Free, so, bad word.
Free is bad. So complimentary is a good word. That's right. So on there you've got the website, riseoffuture.com, where you can go and you can find who all these judges are we talk about. There's just, you know, we say, yeah, they're the best of the best. It goes all the way back to like Frank Herbert. He's the guy that wrote Dune. He was one of the first judges. We have going back to the golden age of science fiction, some of the judges that were the contemporaries of Elwyn Hubbard that were the first judges. And the same thing with the illustrators of the future. The people that were the first judges were the big names of illustration during the golden age of science fiction. Frank Frazetta, who's just, I mean, his paintings now are selling for $6 million. Crazy successful. I mean, he passed some years ago, but it's just that's the caliber of judges that we have. Larry Elmore, who you've met, he's not here this year. He'll be here next year. He's one that created all the original art for Dungeons and Dragons. And
if y'all can, I would call Larry and you guys should pay him money to tell y'all stories. I'm telling you what.
He's just got so many good stories, man, and some of these illustrators, they're just the humblest people you'd ever want to know. It's like, oh, I'm no good. People, I'm just an old guy. I'm just like.
When he was on the couch with Echo and Tom, he put him to shame. You know Echo and Tom, friends of mine, but Larry, I talked them to and me as well. Okay, the three of us were trying to get a word in and not even a shot. Larry just put us to shame, and then somebody texted in, who is this guy again? Jesus, Joe, you need to give him a job. He already makes far more money than I can get.
He was funny because he does this stuff, and he said, now I'm finally able to do my own stuff. I don't need to work for somebody else now, because he's done so many corporate stuff. And then he had these boxes of his sketches, original sketches and stuff like that, and that he did for his paintings. And he's going to throw them away and said, no, don't. So they started putting them up on eBay. And he's selling the little sketches for like, I'm selling for $9,000. Somebody paid $20,000 for this. Can you believe that? Just like that. Name. So he's just, you know, he is just doing so well. And it's just an amazingly nice person. But those are the caliber of judges that we have. And so that's, when you go to the website, you can see the writer judges, illustrator judges. And we also have two. You can navigate on the left side of the left bar of the website, where you can then enter the writers contest or enter the illustrators contest. We have the forum. Ah, that's right.
Can you see it on there?
Yeah.
So this is book 40. It's 40th anniversary.
It hasn't been released yet, so this is like a sneak preview.
Tag up there. It says this is for.
It hasn't been released yet. We made about, I think, 50 of them up front, and I sent my last copy to Joe. So that's what this is. I don't even have a copy.
And this is the one I read about a week ago, and then I read part of it again on the airplane coming in because of the people I want to interview. But y'all can get it.
You can go to Amazon. You can go to Galaxy Press, and you can order it.
And look, when you order from GalaxyPress.com, say attention believer from Joe. Okay. No, really, I'm serious. Y'all get me in trouble with this girl, people. Y'all better straighten out up there. I don't want to hear her jumping on me. Look, go get the book, Vance copy. It's got a lot of good stories in it. You're going to really enjoy it. It's got a lot of good artwork in it, which is, I'm not going to show y'all, but it's right here.
Yeah, you're not going to show that.
You can't see that. Y'all can see the back of the book.
Wow, look at that. That looks really good. Look at that.
So y'all gonna
amazing.
Y'all going to have to wait till couple of days to see the inside. Maybe Friday I'll show y'all.
Show them again.
See how pretty it is.
This is going to be flip out when they actually see the art for the stories. That's going to be on Monday this year.
Yes.
So. Where we're going to have in 2 days they're going to have the big reveal where they see the artists and the writers meet up when they actually see their art for the first time.
So when the reveals, and we won't broadcast the reveal live. But we will carry it, and then it will go up when everything's done and edited. So you'll get to see the artwork on there. And then you'll see, I always take individual pictures of each piece of art, why the artist and writer are crying. It always makes it better when there's tears streaming. Mm-hmm. But by the way, I think I'm kidding, but there's a lot of tears. It's all good stuff. It's so great to see the artist and the illustrator hook up for the first time on the book. It's just a great thing. But y'all get to see that Monday evening. Sometime we'll post it up, and y'all be able to see some of the artwork, and then probably Tuesday. But the gala's Thursday. It'll be live.
On Tuesday, you're going to get your coffee. You're going to get your cappuccino.
Oh, yes, good.
On Tuesday.
I just want to go over to Author Services so I can steal some coffee.
I'm going to give it to you. You don't have to steal it.
What's her name over there? Makes my coffee.
Well, John remember. Makes your coffee too.
Yes, you do too. But what's her but name? I always want to call her Helga. Yeah, French. Sophie. Yeah, I love that woman. And she makes a good cup of coffee. Man.
Yeah.
She makes a good cup of tea too, by the way.
Yeah.
Yes, people drink coffee and tea. What can I say? Get over yourself. But we're getting ready to close up in a few minutes. Anything else we want to tell them before we get out of here?
Well, definitely like just to repeat the fact that if you like science fiction and fantasy, I can really promise you, and you can go risingfuture.com, but you can also go to the Facebook page, risingfuture.com, and just see some of the reviews coming in right now. One person, one of the biggest science fiction short story review publications in the world said, this book totally restored my love of short fiction. It's just, it's getting just rave reviews coming out. It's
easy to read, man.
It's really easy to read. And we've got these stories. They're for, they're appropriate for middle school on up. We've got all types of stories in science fiction, fantasy, alternate history, light horror, you know, dark fantasy. And what's interesting this year, which I've never seen before, I think 8 of the stories are written first person, and that's really difficult to pull off a good first person or a person talking, you know, the person whose story, normally they're in third person, it's not they, he, you know, that type of stuff, but this is I, me. And so by having like that, it makes it very much more personal when it's first person, but it's also maybe a little bit of the coming out of the pandemic and people are like really dealing with life situations and coming back and connecting back up again. So this book really helps that a lot to, you know, just being able to live life, love life, and some very uplifting stories that you'll find in here. And just, it's like, it's all over the board. So there's, I can guarantee you, because we've got winners from like 8 different countries. So it's all types of ethnics and nationalities and morality and good morality, but it's all types of stuff that's there that you can really get and just appreciate great storytelling.
And to my friend Jesse Lee, who I know is listening right now, your children can read the book. She has 8 and a 10-year-old, and they're clean. The stories are clean. They're fun to read, and I always rate them PG. Is how I rate them. I may throw a 13 in there, but really it's just PG. I mean, there's no gratuitous sex or violence.
That's right.
It's not in there, and there's a lot of comedy in a lot of them, actually. Well, let me say it different, like soft comedy, actually, but it's just a lot of interesting stories, and it's not just this book. I mean, I've read 5 of these, the new ones, and then another 10 from the last batch I bought, and they all got good stories in them. I like them because they're short. Doesn't take me a long time to read them. I can get through them fast. Now, a couple of these I noticed have been made into novels, like what was the
They just released on Tax Day.
Yeah.
So
Tax Man. And
It was a fun story.
Yeah, so that was a fun story to listen to or read.
And several of the winners are working on it, and we continue working with the winners long after they've.
That's another
been published. Yeah, we work with it. We set up a lot of media. That's how they've met you. And we do bookstore signings for them. We continue to do stuff with them years after.
Y'all are at like Dragon Con and FanX. So a lot of times you'll see the winners at these places at when they go, because John is all over the place. So y'all at Dragon Con, FanX. I know y'all go to Florida.
Yeah, Tampa Comic Con. And we'll be in San Diego in July for Comic Con down there.
So a lot of these places, there'll be illustrators or write authors there with them. Just stay away from Sarah and Emily. I'm just saying, you leave it half the book place, man. I'm warning you people.
Actually, they're good. They're good at what they do.
Actually, Sarah, she says, where is she? By the way, I ain't seen her. She's been hiding out.
You'll see her.
Did Joe like, give her Satan or something? She's been bad.
Joe.
I'm just saying.
Joe.
I know she's a little terror, man. Look. No, she is great people. Y'all have actually seen videos of Sarah before.
Yeah.
And actually, you've seen Sarah and Emily at Dragon Con last year. Waving at y'all and stuff, and there's one where Emily's the thing's holding Emily's, that was funny as hell. But y'all, that's an older video, it's the year before last, but y'all have to go look at it. Turley was on, no, not Turley, what's his name? The big guy,
Turl.
That's
the big monster guy,
Anyway, she's got Emily by the head,
We've done that,
Doing an interview, no less. People, what can I say? He came alive, grabbed Emily by the head. I don't know, but there are lots of good stuff like that. There's lots of good books out there to read. A lot of these authors have already put out material since then. And remember, this goes back 40 years.
Yeah.
So there's lots of other authors to go hunt up. There's lots of other, which the furthest back they can go? 20, book 20, book 18?
Yeah, we go back to book 20. We can get the ones earlier than that. You can find them on eBay usually and stuff like that. Earlier on, that was before you had other time. You didn't have eBooks back then. You didn't have audiobooks. So the contracts that we had weren't able to do that. And so it's too much effort to be able to go back and put together all the estates of people that passed. So we just don't have that. We're not able to do that. We can scan them and make more paperbacks with if we scan them, because that's also before the days of having digital files. Yeah. They have to be scanned, they have to be cleaned, all that stuff. So we just haven't done that.
You can find originals on they sell a lot of used books out there.
Yeah.
I've bought a lot of used books over the years, and some really good ones, actually. And a lot of times they're clean and crisp. Depends. A really good reader book will be in pristine condition.
Yeah.
Some line like me, you don't want to buy any book for me, man. Yeah, man. It'll be bent on a corner, bent upside down. I done thrown it in all kind of stuff. I expect my books to be tough. And actually, this one's been, it's been on an airplane ride. It's been in two car rides. It's been a couple places with me now. Yeah.
One thing I can actually take advantage of this, I just realized, is like, because you just finished talking with Chelsea. And so you've gotten, that was Elwin Hubbard from 1950 on when he wrote Dynasty and then Scientology in 1954 and on from there. Prior to that, though, he was one of America's most popular writers of pulp fiction. Now, you had your Slicks, which was like your Saturday Evening Post and those types of magazines. And then you had Pulpwood Paper, which was the, it was way more popular. And that's what the average American would read. That's where they went for entertainment. And that was also at a time period after World War One, before World War Two. You just had that huge, the Spanish flu, which wiped out millions of people back then. Yeah. It was way more devastating than what the most recent pandemic was. So yeah, World War One, you had the stock market crash. People were freaked out. Half America was out of work. And so Pulp Fiction was that type of storytelling. It was called escapist fiction. And people could read it. And for a little bit, they'd be away from their woes. And one thing that made Hubbard so successful was he had a type of a storyline that he used, which is the man that learned better. And so you'd have stories where a guy started off, he wasn't necessarily doing the right thing. He was sometimes not always making the right decisions, but he comes to some moral crossroads and he makes a decision to do the right thing in an amazing, great storyline. And so it became very, very popular with that. And so it became like every man's stories that they could enjoy. So he wrote adventure, mystery, science fiction, fantasy, some romance, military fiction, because he was in the Navy. He was a lieutenant in the Navy. So he wrote amazing military fiction. But he wrote hundreds of stories that he published. And you've seen that fold out that we have with all different books he's published in. So he also wrote a lot of how-to articles on writing. And so he published several stories in the various story magazines at the time. He also wrote for Sportsman's Pilot. So he wrote nonfiction there because he was, I think he had his pilot's license was number 87, was it? 385th.
For his gliders,
For gliders. But he was also one of the first barnstorming pilots too. So he has amazing stories on that. And that was, back then there wasn't, things weren't super fast, but he has one story, where he's on a glider pilot. He was flying and a wing fell off and he crashed and he either dislocated or broke his shoulder and dislocated his knee and broke a rib. But makes a great story, so all the stuff he used for his
write about too.
Yeah. He added that add more grist for his typewriter mill. So he was very qualified that when he celebrated 50 years as a writer in his publication of Battlefield Earth, it was released in 1982. The year after that, he launched this career, or launched Writers of the Future, to provide that, because his name was back up in lights with science fiction and fantasy. So he started that and he saw science fiction. He wrote this in his introduction to Battlefield Earth as the herald of possibility. And that was like the, let's put a good future there. And so that's why you see with Rise of Future, you've got stuff that's like more positive, or if it's something that's negative, it's like, okay, so here's something that, let's avoid this, you know, something here that we don't need to do. So you can actually look at, you know, how to do things right. And so he launched that, and some of the original judges and her major names in science fiction at the time thought, okay, this is a really great idea. If it makes it 5 years, that's cool. Then yeah, if it makes it 10 years, that's cool. If that makes it 20 years, that's cool. And I remember the 25th anniversary when I had one of the original judges, Robert Silverberg, said, I thought this was, you know, really nice, but 25 years, it's still going. This is amazing. And now it starts flipping over, saying nothing has done more for science fiction than this competition. And some of the biggest names that you see in science fiction and fantasy got their start with this contest.
Yes.
Brandon Sanderson, everybody thinks, oh my gosh, he's like awesome. He won an honorable mention when he first started. And at that time, he had no recognition. He submitted 6 novels, and all he ever had was rejects. So when he got this, he said, okay, maybe I just need to persist. You know, I got something I can keep on going.
It doesn't hurt you either to say, hey, I won Rise of the Future.
No.
When you're applying or selling a book, or it might help you get to the top faster too.
Well, right now the contest is so successful that people don't look at an honorable mention as a reject. They say, I won honorable mention. I see a press release usually once every 1 to 2 weeks saying, I won honorable mention. And it's in their bios.
If I was in, when I submitted the book, I would submit I was honorable mention or I was a winner.
Yeah.
It would be in my letter with the book that I
submitted. What they do now. And it automatically takes their story out of the slush pile now. And they say they're honorable mention.
Y'all know people over at Books A Million and Barnes and Noble mm-hmm. and stuff. So, you know, that guy, the editor, whoever's reading the readers, they go, hey, well, oh wait, Rise of the Future might actually be worth reading. So yeah. All that other stack of books over there at 3,000 ahead of you just got dropped because this guy's going to read your book.
That's right.
Because you won the award.
That's right. That's exactly right.
That's you know, jumps it up. What time is we?
Right now it's 2:30.
What are we, a half hour short?
Yeah.
Okay. I was just checking. People don't get all crazy before anybody starts writing to John.
So with this thing here, it's like by having a means for these writers to get their name out in lights. And they definitely do, because I mean, every one of them is on with you, and they're being watched or listened to by from 1 to 3 million people.
Depends on what show we got.
Yeah, exactly. You got that. And they're all going to be in bookstore signings that we're going to set them up for them. They all get press releases. They're all getting special, you know, with this gala that's happening. They're being presented awards from the biggest names in science fiction and fantasy, which is just, you don't get that anywhere. Nobody else does this.
On a weird side note, you got a favorite story from this year? I haven't made up my mind. I thought I did. And then I got to reading on the airplane, and then that wasn't my favorite story. It's not what it wasn't a good story. I just changed my.
I do.
Favorite stories?
In that one.
Have you read this one?
I haven't read that one.
Lightning is going to get you.
I've read it, and I definitely have favorite stories, and I have favorite art. And I definitely am not going to say what it is because.
That's because we can't, actually.
Because I can't, and because I've got 12 kids out there.
Yes, and they might.
And I'm not going to show favoritism because under different circumstances, I'm like, wow, I really love this one here. Because I proofread the book before it went to press. And so it was like, I love this one here.
You know,
I love this one here.
I was looking at some covers. I was actually online looking at covers the other day, and I was thinking, my favorite cover might be like 15 years back. I'm going to have to go look and see exactly which book it was, but I was looking through it. Don't get me wrong, ladies. There was a lot of good covers. I don't want to take away from Tom or Hassan, Dan, or anybody like that, because they do excellent work, and they're big-time illustrators. But I think it might have been about 15 years back. I was just perusing. I was looking for something goofy to read the other day. And I happened to see it when I was online. I said, let me see this cover. And I think I might have liked it the best. So anyway, I'll have it posted for y'all, ladies and gentlemen, when I get back to New Orleans. It's sitting on my desk, so y'all can take a look at it and go read the book. But pre-order. Right,
exactly.
There. Pre-order.
Definitely pre-order the book.
Yes.
And just realize, too, like for those of you watching this that are aspiring writers or artists, just like – we always, every year we ask people support these winners. Because one thing that happens too, when we did the cover reveal, when we did this thing here, we hit 3 bestseller lists on pre-orders alone. So we hit 3 bestsellers. So they're already national best-selling authors. When we release this book, it's coming Thursday. Anybody that pre-orders, all those orders kick in
so
on that Thursday, and there'll be further national bestseller lists.
See, people, this is the list of, y'all are going to be able to read it when you buy it, but who else is on the back of this book? I mean, this is a, sorry, I didn't mean to get out of your face, but I mean, we've got a serious list back here.
Yeah. So the judges that we got, these are the current judges, not the ones that passed are not listed on this thing here. But Hugh Howey, he's the guy that wrote Silo, which is the TV series with Rebecca Ferguson. This is where the next stars are born. He's one of our more recent judges, Larry Elmore, who I mentioned to you. This is an opportunity of a lifetime. Nnedi Okorafor, she was published in volume 19, I believe. Some of the most excellent speculative fiction that you can find anywhere. They're cutting edge. They're new. So the judge that we got, Kevin J. Anderson, he's the, I think he's executive producer of the Dune movies. Doug Beeson, Greg Benford, Orson Scott Card, he's the one that wrote Ender's Game. Brian Herbert, he's the son of Frank Herbert. He continues writing the Dune. Nina Kirikki Hoffman, Hugh Howey, I just mentioned, Nancy Kress, Catherine Kurtz, Todd McCaffrey, the son of Anne McCaffrey, who wrote all the Dragonrider series.
Todd is hilarious.
Todd, yes. Rebecca Mess is Kevin Anderson's wife. Larry Niven, he wrote, it's called Known Spaces, the series there. And just one of the most amazing authors of hard science fiction. Jody Lanine, the coordinating judge. Nnedi Okorafor, she created a subgenre called African Futurism Fantasy. Just amazing author. She's also written all the stuff for Shuri in the Wakanda universe. So she created all that stuff for him. Tim Powers, he wrote on Stranger Tides, which was made into all the Pirates of the Caribbean movie. Christine Catherine Rush, Brandon Sanderson, we've talked about him. Robert J. Sawyer, we've talked about him. Barbara Silverberg, Dean Wesley Smith, S.N. Sterling, and Sean Williams, who's one of the major science fiction writers of Australia. Those are the current judges for the Rise of the Future. And equally as you don't know the names of illustrators as much as you do the writers, because the illustrators, the artists, I love that art. I love that art. You don't necessarily know who wrote that or who painted it. But
you know, it's like Tom Wood, I didn't even know he did stuff in the NFL until I went and looked at his portfolio.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like,
some of these guys are just, they're amazingly successful. And one thing that I try to impress upon the winners, I do it every year. These judges don't have to do this. You know, the whole thing of science fiction fantasy is to pay it forward. They want to do it. They want to help the next, just like they were helped. They want to help the next class. And they call them their kids. But because of the contest, just in case you don't know, the Rise of the Future and Illustrators of the Future contest, it's free to enter. There's no requirement other than that you can't be professional. So any age. So we've got winners from 16, 17 years old to 73 years old. Any nationality, any ethnic, any religion. There's no sexual. It's just strictly all the judges see is your story or art and a number.
And a number.
That's it.
Yes, people, and a number. I've checked it out thoroughly. Don't even write to me about it anymore. It's poor John had to go through the ringer for this. But I checked it out. I checked it out thoroughly. When he says that, it's exactly what it is. They get a number. They get to look at the judge. The judge reads the book, and then they send it back. And hopefully you did good. Maybe not. You might get honorable mention. You might get, oh, my God, why'd you send this to us? No, I just didn't. But there's more and more competition every year, people. So I would suggest going over to Writers of the Future, taking the course, or maybe talking with somebody else.
Take the course, because that's in the form. You can join the form, like you're saying, because
people
are totally willing to help you there. But the course, the number of honorable mentions increased dramatically when people took the online course, because it's taught by Orson Scott Card, Tim Powers, and Dave Wolverton, who was the coordinating judge. He passed a few years ago, but just he was nicknamed the Story Doctor. He helped thousands of writers.
Yes.
And then it's got about 11 essays written by Owen Hubbard.
And don't forget to kill your darlings. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Thank you. That was Wolfman's advice.
Because he told me the other day, you need to kill all them damn darlings, Joe. You got to do it.
And there's stories. And stories. If everybody lives, then there's not a whole lot of conflict happening. It becomes a boring story. But, so it's something that we're here to help you. If that's what you want to do, we'll help you do that. Everybody's got a story. And even if all you want to do is be able to write a story on your bucket list, then this will help you on that too, even if you have no desire to go on beyond that. Several winners have gone on to other careers in writing, not publishing like this, but writing for corporations, for companies, writing manuals and stuff. We have people that do that as well. So, but it's here for you. If that was Mr. Hubbard's intention when he first created it, it hasn't gotten, it's just gotten bigger and better. We started very humble beginnings with about 400 plus entries that first year from US and Canada. And now we have entries from over 170 countries. It is a major deal. Like I said, because of the success of this competition, just by saying I won honorable mention, you'll be taken on the slush pile. So winning the contest, some people will only enter. We have two winners this year that just all they want to do is win this contest. They've been entering for years. Now they've done this. Now they're going to start writing for other.
Well, speaking of that, don't we have a winner coming this year that took forever to win, like 40 something times?
Yeah. So if you get a reject, one thing that a writer has to overcome is thin skin syndrome. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't have a thin skin. You're going to get rejected. Even our judges that are like Kevin Anderson still gets rejected. I still haven't been published in this, right? I still haven't done that. You just got to deal with that. That's one thing
that
happens.
That's good advice for any media, any artist stuff you're into. Really, you can't, if rejection hurts your little feelings, get out of the field.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, because you're going to get it. Look, when I first got into podcasting and radio and the TV, I had people say, you want to be on what? Television? Get out of here, old man. You can't do that. It's you see them on TV, people. So apparently, I don't listen real well. But you can. You can't really have. You have to believe in yourself and believe in your work. And I'm going to tell you a little piece. Don't give it to your mom and dad to read, okay?
Oh, Johnny.
Make sure you get, you know, some people who read it that will tell you the truth.
Yeah. You know, which you'll get if you go to the Writers of the Future forum.
Yes. Yeah.
And we also have a policy with Writers of the Future on that if somebody gives you any grief, they get one warning. They do it a second time, they're kicked out of the forum.
Adios amigos, baby.
Yeah. So we're not into that. We're not into, like, you know, trying to, you know, giving you stuff that just kind of makes you feel crummy about what you're doing there. We want to be able to encourage. That's what this is about. That was Mr. Hubbard's intention. And so we maintain his original purpose of this contest. And it's grown. We have thousands of entries a quarter now. It's like we've long passed that point of criticism. Like Joe went through the whole thing. He's, you know, I did my 2 years with Joe on being challenged and what about this?
Oh,
what about that?
So I was a pain in the ass too, people. Oh yeah. Poor John had to go. I had to buy him steak dinners for 2 years after that. Just be nice to him. It's no, really. It's just, and that's not just me. I mean, I had my whole staff involved in this, and I think all the.
And he wasn't the first. I've been doing this for a long time. This is year 40. I came in year 2.
Yeah. So you know, when we tell you he's what he is, he's what he is. And if you don't believe me, I mean, most of y'all know me. You've been watching me from TV or radio for 25 years. Y'all know how I am. I'm a real ass when it comes to checking on people. I mean, personally, y'all see me tear people up and down all over the place. And I said, you see, I'm friends and I'm sitting next to the man. So, you know, I got to believe what he's saying. It's not so much belief for me. It's just simple research. And another thing is, like when we were just talking with Chelsea a minute ago, they have given me complete access to everyone. I mean, everyone. I talked to everybody at Author Services. I talked to everybody at Galaxy Press. I harass the boss here all the time. And the other boss, who she just smacks me sometimes, but I harass the other boss sometimes too. It's just, they are what they say they are. Join, become part of it. Get in there and win. But you better get your stories together, because I'm telling y'all, every year I see they get more and more and more. So, you know, and another little secret is, and this comes for some of the authors and the illustrators, by the way, some of the judges told me the same thing. If you're going to send something in, don't start it off to where it doesn't get to the story till 5 pages in, because if you do, you're not going to make it. Mm-hmm. You've got to give the coordinating judges something to look at, something that makes them want to read past page 3 or 4 or 5. If you don't, they're going to set your book down and they're going to order somebody else's book.
Yeah, we go over this in detail in the podcast. It just aired just before this show here.
So it's like, listen,
so it'll be archived shortly. Yes. And that's when Jody Lynn and I, that's the current episode. That's this week, where we go into that in considerable detail, like why you have to get in the story and sometimes she has a problem. It's a brilliant story, but there's no speculative element. There's no science fiction or fantasy, so she has to reject it. So just look at the rules. They're on the website, writersfeature.com. They're also in the back of the book, which I prefer you buy so you can find it there. But either way, you can get it.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, about having the book, you can see how good you have to be in order to win the contest. And it also, one thing that judges would like to, you know, buy the book, read it, enjoy it, then go back and read it again and find out, how'd they do that? How did they enter the new character? How did they, like you said, kill off the darling? How did they create suspense? How do they move a story along? How do you fill in the backstory without making it seem like you're just downloading a bunch of information?
Speaking on a side note, Carly, you can still send John and I a steak, but it ain't going to get you any hits. I'm just... So somebody asked me last night, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning when I get this text. Is there a way I can get in faster? Can I like send you steaks or something? I'm like, no. I said, you can send me steaks. I'll be happy. It's not going to. Who was somebody offering me money a couple weeks ago? I said, it's not going to make a difference. I said, they don't listen to me anyway, guys. I said, and I don't never.
And I'm not a judge. I find out when the judges send me stuff. So I don't know anything about the winners until it comes back from the judges saying, okay, numbers, you know, 359, 26, you know, the ones that are the winners. And then we find out, okay, who that is. Yeah. So we don't know. And I'm not part of the judge. None of the Rise of Future contest staff are part of the judging process. It's all done by the judge that you see in the back of the book there.
And guys, I don't know nothing until John sends me this book. I don't even know where we're staying until usually a week before the contest. I said, I talked to him all year long, but I don't know what stories are going in.
Right.
And later in the year, now we changed things up this year because some of the winners we went ahead and interviewed ahead of time. As long as it was cleared by them, y'all could hear them. So that's why you've seen us do things in gaps, because sometimes it wasn't time. We couldn't release certain things. And I'm just like the rest of y'all. I find out when y'all find out. It's what makes it fun for me. I'm just like one of the listeners. I don't know. I know nothing, people. But we got to get out of here in a few minutes. You want to come say hi? Oh, come on. I'll get up and let you sit down for a second. Say hi.
Wow, I just got up. Just one thing on this before we end off here. This is awesome. I just got another certificate of recognition from Senator Anthony Portantino. This is awesome. So we've gotten, I'm about over 100 recognitions now, proclamations on the 40th anniversary. I got one from the governor of Arkansas, the governor of not New York, a senator from Pennsylvania. He did a proclamation for every winner ever from Pennsylvania, but New Jersey, the governor of New Jersey wrote a really nice letter. This is from a senator. I've gotten also from the president of the LA City Council. I got that yesterday. Council member over District 14, he gave a proclamation for every winner. So they're all going to get a presentation of that. And we're doing a whole thing, which we'll do a special video of, because it's so cool seeing all these proclamations and stuff. But this is awesome. I've been, this is beautiful. So this will all be up, and once nobody's seeing these things until we get up and do this thing on Thursday, but we'll have, I'll do a special video of this thing, because they're so beautiful, all these recognitions. And just, you know, Elwyn Hubbard Rise of the Future Week, starting now till the 27th. And so this is super, super way cool.
That's the more the merrier, people.
This late breaking, just that ding you just heard. I looked at what is this, and like, wow.
I see when you popped it up. Well, guys and girls, we got to get out of here. So anybody, any moans, groans, bitches, complaints, you know who to write to. Chelsea, no, I'm just kidding. Write to Michelle DeRoche. That's who handles all of that stuff. And if she tells you something, well, don't write me back, because she's the boss. So I'll just deal with it.
But we'll be seeing on Thursday night, because you're going to be broadcasting.
Yes, we'll be broadcasting
the gala live.
The whole gala event will be live.
And if you can start a little bit early, like at 6 o'clock, because we have the top swing band in the UK is going to be performing a 20-minute set. They're just so dynamic, so live, called the Jive Aces. They'll be starting, I think it's 6:40, 6:35 or so. And prior to that, we have all these proclamations we'll be showing and letters. And then we made a video. We did a thing. I've been touring around the U.S. And actually Frankfurt, Germany, interviewing people saying, congratulations on 40 years. So we have winners from Germany. We have people from Germany, from China, from just all over saying congratulations, Rise to the Future in 40 years. So we'll have that. We have a real fun video on that we made too.
Don't forget, people, writersofthefuture.com, galaxypress.com, galaxypress if you want to buy something, writersofthefuture if you want to join. Go take the course if you're going to submit. I've taken the course 3 times. Ignore me, but that's because of his wife, actually. But anyway, we're not going to get into that. That's for a whole nother show. But it's Emily. Never mind. If y'all don't know who Emily is, y'all will find out soon enough. So be sure, check everything out. Know everything is on the up and up here. I'm here. But if it wasn't on the up and up, people, I wouldn't be here. Y'all know I'd be off doing something else, probably New York harassing somebody. Or maybe somebody invited me to Tampa this week. I said, no, I'm going to send out me in L.A. I'm going to come to Tampa. I don't want to come to Tampa. I'm going to be in L.A. Y'all can find me out there. But really and truly, the whole contest is on the up and up. I haven't seen anything here that would make me think that you shouldn't get involved or there's any hidden fees or you got to pay $10,000 if you win. No, it doesn't work that way. So, and it is blind judged. To me, that was one of the most important things. And that was the first thing I checked out because John told me. I was like, blind what? You don't even want to know what I told him either. I said, "Blind, wait, what does I know? Wait, man, you should." I was really rude, but anyway. But anyhow, ladies, I want to thank everyone for tuning in to Oz's Quill. I hope y'all enjoyed. Writers of the Future was just on before. All of these will be archived later tonight for anybody who wants to see any archives. And again, any moans, critiques, or complaints, write to Michelle DeRoche, courtesy of John Goodwin. Good night, everybody. Yeah, I put you on the stake this time. You'll get enough trouble.